Everyone's awake. That's wonderful. This morning, I wanted to read from a little bit of the Beatitudes, and that's in Matthew chapter 5, Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus says, verse 3 especially, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I like in other translations that says, "Blessed are the spiritually helpless, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." I want to ask you this morning, are you spiritually helpless? I hope you are. I hope you are. Because you know what? Throughout history, from pretty much the beginning of time, with Adam and Eve in their first fall, we all thought that we could take our own salvation into our own hands. Certainly, Eve thought that as she looked at the fruit and she listened to the serpent who said, "You're not going to die if you take that fruit." And she decides to take her own salvation into her hands, her own life into her hands. And we know how that has turned out, right? Well, all the way to this day, in days of Jesus, there were people called the Pharisees and the Sadducees who thought that they could make it to heaven if they were holy people. And holiness to them meant that they could do the right things. If they did the right things, if they followed God's rules, they could make it to heaven. But you know what? That's not what Jesus taught. That's not what Jesus teaches. It's not about doing the rules that makes us go to heaven. You see, what is first necessary is for us to recognize that we are spiritually helpless. The Pharisees thought, hey, we don't need Jesus. We don't need what he has to say because really, we can just do it ourselves. And so they would give their tithe, their 10%, and they would give to the poor, but they would just do whatever was necessary, the bare minimum. And you know what? Jesus said something very differently. If you look at Jesus and how he commended people for their faith, there's two people that strike out in my mind that he commended for their faith. One of them was a centurion. Remember the centurion? The centurion had a servant who was sick, and he sent somebody to tell Jesus to come to his to say the word, and the servant would be healed. And Jesus wanted to come to his house. He says, no, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come into my house. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed, because I'm a man under authority, and I say to this one, come, and he comes, and the other one goes, and he goes. You're the same way, Lord. You just tell me. Say the word. Say the word. And Jesus commended him as having great faith, that he hadn't seen such great faith in all of Israel. And yet the faith, where is it grounded in? It's grounded in the fact that the centurion did not in and of himself feel that he was worthy for the grace of Jesus. But he didn't stop there. He didn't just say, I'm not worthy, and give up. What he did is he held on to the only person who could solve his problem, who could heal his servant, and that was Jesus Christ. He said, I'm not worthy, but say the word, Lord, and my servant will be healed. You know, we can have the idea that if we just simply go to church, if we do our best, if we're good people, that we're going to make it to heaven. How many people have you encountered who say, I'm going to go to heaven because I've been generally a good person. I haven't done a lot of bad things. I've done what I thought was the best that I could. And so I think that, you know, God will understand that and I'm going to make it to heaven. God doesn't work that way. Because, you know, if you think about it, what was the first sin? What was the first sin? The first sin involved eating a fruit. If we were to go to somebody and you were to say, or if I was to go to you, for instance, and say to you, okay, listen, because you dipped your hand in the cookie jar, I'm sorry, but you can't make it to heaven. You are going to die eternally. Does that sound fair by human thought? Does that sound fair? Just because you ate one fruit, you're not going to make it to heaven. But what does that tell us? That tells us that sin is serious business. Sin is has very big consequences. And ultimately, it should tell us that in and of ourselves, we can't save ourselves. That's something that the Pharisees didn't understand. But you know what? The Spirit of Christ, when Jesus lives in us, looks very different than the spirit of the world. The world tells us, hey, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. The world tells you that your worth is determined by your job. Your worth is determined by your house, by your car, by your possessions, by your toys. The world tells us that you are worthwhile based on your education, based on the country you were born in, based on where, which side of the tracks you were born on. This is the kind of things that the world tells us that we are worthy or not worthy on. But that's not what Jesus based our worth on. Jesus says, you are worthy because of the fact that I paid the price for you. That's where you remember John 3:16 from last night. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes on him. Did it say only some people? Did it say only the worthy believe on him? No, it says whoever believes on him. You know what that whoever means? Everybody. It means people here. It means people in India, people in Iraq. It means people, whether they're born in Europe, whether they're born rich, whether they're born poor. If that reality is in our lives, then we will treat people differently. We're not going to treat people based on their outward appearance. We're not going to treat people based on whether they have rich clothes or rich toys or cars or houses. We're going to treat people like Jesus treated them. You know, there's Andrew Murray, who was a man who lived at the same time, actually, in the 1800s as Ellen White, was a Reformed Dutch, but he had some phenomenal insights. And he writes on humility. He says, humility is perfect quietness of heart. It is for me to have no trouble, never to be fretted or vexed or irritated or sore or disappointed. It is to expect nothing, to wonder at nothing that is done to me, to feel nothing done against me. It is to be at rest when nobody praises me and when I am blamed or despised. It is to have a blessed home in the Lord where I can go in and shut the door and kneel to my Father in secret and be at peace as in a sea, deep sea of calmness when all around is trouble. It is the fruit of the Lord Jesus Christ's redemptive work on Calvary's cross, manifested in those of his own who are definitely subject to the Holy Spirit. In humility, there is total absence of pride, and it is at the very farthest distance from anything like self-conceit. There is no self-praise in humility. Rather, it has the disposition to praise others. Jesus was very different than us, than the way we are naturally. Jesus wants to create that in us. He wants us to not search after the applause of others. He wants us not to look at others based on the outward appearance. He wants us to look at them through the eyes of God. God places an infinite value on your soul. God places an infinite value on everybody's soul. God has unconditional love. That, by unconditional love, it means he can't love more than he has loved. He can't love you more than he has. He can't love everyone. Every person in the world, he loves with an infinite love. And what we need to do is surrender to it. We need to do every day, we need to ask the Lord to come into our hearts, ask Jesus to come into our hearts, and to teach us that humility, to teach us that quietness, to teach us to listen to his voice, and to teach us to not be so concerned about what others think, to not be so concerned about what others do or don't do. You know, in Jesus, when he was in his life, he had people always insulting him and attacking him, including his own family. His own brothers, even his mother and father didn't understand what he was doing. But you know what? He took his comfort in Jesus Christ, in the Father, in his relationship with the Father. We need to do the same. We need to take comfort in Jesus, in our relationship with Jesus. Because Jesus wants to do in us what God the Father did in Jesus when he was on earth. You know, we need to recognize that everything that Jesus did on earth, everything he did on earth, he wants to do in us. That's found in Ephesians chapter 5. And it states that in Ephesians 2 and verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Let's all walk in the works of Jesus, in the thought of Jesus, in the mind of Jesus, today and every day. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that in Jesus we have everything. We thank you that in Jesus You value us with an infinite value, that you paid the price of your death on the cross so that we could live eternally. But not just we, Lord, not just us, not just me personally, but every person on this earth. Let us be willing and humble to share that good news with everybody around us. Let us be willing to consider others better than ourselves. Let us be willing to go and reach others, even if they're different, even if they think differently, even if they smell differently than we do, Lord, even if they do things differently than we do. Let's not consider ourselves superior. Let's not consider ourselves somehow better, but let's see them with your eyes. May you live in us, and may we see them as you see us. In Jesus' name, amen.